1 Thessalonians chapter 2, and we're going to begin our reading in verse number 9. We continue our series today. This morning, we're continuing on the second part in our series, Expecting When You're Expecting. And it is a blessing to have here this morning. It's a blessing to have Brother Keith Drinkard here and his family. And of course, they are on deputation right now. And God is blessing like crazy. We praise the Lord for all he's doing. And in fact, this week received a grant. I'll let him talk more about that tonight. In fact, I've asked him to be here tonight to preach for us. And so he's going to preach in the evening service. And I hope that you'll plan on being a part of it. We'll be here at 6 o'clock and we'll get to hear from Brother Keith. The plan is that we're going to let him talk about when and all that good stuff. But this year, in 2019, we're planting a church, and we're planting a church in Leawood, Kansas. And I'm excited about it. I'm excited about reaching that area. I'm grateful that our church gets to be a part of it. I'm glad that God partnered us with Brother Keith and his family, and I'm just so excited about what God wants to do. You'd say, preacher, is this a sermon series on church planting? Sure. What I'm going to preach on is general principles that any of us can see and use in our own life, expecting. I hope you have more things expected in your life than you've got going right now. And so we're going to talk about some general, just what to do when you're expecting God to continue to work in your life. But yeah, ultimately, it's a series about the fact that we're planting a church, and our church needs to be prepared. Did you know we need to be prepared, church? We're gonna plant a church. We ought to be ready for it, right? I think of that mom when she's expecting that little child any day now. You know, around our house, I remember with Noah especially. I remember with our firstborn, things around my house started to change. You know, spaces where I could just throw my shoes now had bassinets in them, and things where I would normally I'd put my towel there. Well, now they've got all of these. You know, and I've got all these pastel blue towels in the way, and I'm not allowed to use pastel blue towels. I don't know what that's all about. But things around my house started to change, and I think about the need of our church. The truth is, we're gonna have a baby church here soon, and we need to get prepared for it. We need to be ready for it, and that's what this series is designed to do, is to prepare our church and prepare us for the fact that God is going to do a great work through us, and I believe in my heart, I believe that our church wants to be ready. We want to do it well. We want to do a great job at it. And so this morning, we're going to continue in that second part. And I want you to look at verse number 9 with me. Verse number 9 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. The Bible says, "For ye remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you. We preached unto you the gospel of God. Ye are witnesses, and God also, how holily and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe. As ye know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you, as a father doth his children, that ye would walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it was in truth," or as it is in truth, "the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." Lord, we love you, and we pray that you would get honor and glory to yourself this morning. I pray that, Father, you would use your word. I pray you'd use your messenger, Lord. I know your word is powerful. It's quick. It's mighty. Lord, it's sharp. It's a two-edged sword into our heart. It has the ability to discern the thoughts and has the ability to discern our spirit and our attitude. And, Father, I believe that your word wants to work. My prayer is, God, I would get out of its way. I pray, God, that you would use your word today. You get honor and glory for it. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Thank you for standing to honor the reading of God's word. You may be seated this morning. Consider what Paul is describing here in verse number 9. Consider the work that he is speaking about. I'm grateful that God does work. I'm grateful that God wants to use a church. I'm grateful he wants to use us. I think of South Knollwood. In the last couple of years, God's allowed us to send Brother Tim Drinkard to Panama. And he's studying and learning and growing right now and tackling that language. And I'm so thankful for that. He's working on Spanish there in Panama. And he's working with a church there in the area. And he's doing doing his private tutoring, and he puts himself to the work of getting to where he can plant churches. They've got outreaches into schools. They're using discipleship materials and putting out Bibles and putting out flyers and leaflets and talking to people as he gets a chance. So everywhere he goes, he's missionary everywhere he goes, and he's serving. And even when it's not his church, he's still serving that church he's serving in. And even though there's another man that's called pastor in that place, he is right there, right alongside of him, working and going, understanding he needs to keep his focus on the language for now. And eventually he'll become a church planter. He'll be planting his own churches. But right now he's reaching out. He goes out and picks kids up, puts them in his vehicle, and drives them to church so they can hear the gospel. And it's an incredible thing that Tim is working and serving. And I'm grateful that God's doing that in Panama. I'm grateful that Thursday the Schmitz left. They made it. They got in the plane and they are headed to Brazil. And I'm thankful that they are in Brazil this morning. In fact, he preached a youth group last night, and he preaches this morning. In fact, he would have finished his already. They're in Sunday school hour now, so he preached it earlier in the day, and then he'll preach again this evening. When we meet at 6 o'clock, he's going to be there preaching in Brazil. I'm grateful for that. And you'd see the work that he's done in our church and the way that he's impacted our congregation, and then to see the work that went into getting his house sold and getting all of his material goods sold or packed, and he got everything organized and set up, and our church prays and gives, and we go to work each day to make sure we have something to give to him, and we give so that the work can continue on, and there's work that goes in to this task of putting the Schmitz into Brazil. I'm grateful that eventually that when they get all their money raised, they're going to start working on Portuguese as their language. They're going to be working on Portuguese. I'm so grateful that God gave them a heart for the Portuguese-speaking Brazilians. I'm so excited that right now, today, he's ministering in Itapoa, Brazil. That's amazing to me that our church has an arm in Brazil this morning, reaching and ministering and being a blessing. And God's doing a work there, and he wants to work. He wants to use his people as instruments of his work. That's his desire. His desire is that God would be able to use us as instruments in his ministry. And the reality is that we're going to be planting a church in Leawood. We're going to plant a church in Leawood, and that's not going to be a small task. And we recognize there's funds being raised right now. There's church visits going on, and Brother Drinkard is on the road on deputation meeting partners, and those partners are giving from the money that their people went and worked for and now have given. And so the church is showing their love and generosity, partnering with our church as we go and make this investment to see a church planted in Leawood. And Brother Drinkard is preparing messages and preaching in pulpits and showing his presentation and answering questions and filling out questionnaires and meeting with pastors and following up with leads and doing everything he can to get just one more mile down the road, because all in all, his heart is set on building a church in Leawood, Kansas. And I think about the work that goes in to planting a work in a church in a city like Leawood. The truth is, there's a lot of work involved in the kingdom of God. There's a lot of places where you and I can apply ourselves to the ministry that God has given to us. And I remind you that it is not just Brother Drinkard's job. It is not just Tim Drinkard's job. It is not just Brother Schmidt's job. It is the job of South Knollwood Baptist Church. The reason South Knollwood is reaching Brazil, is reaching Panama, is reaching Leawood, is because God gave our church, God didn't give them the call, God gave the local New Testament church the call to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. It is the job, it is the goal, it is the purpose of South Knollwood Baptist Church to take the name of Jesus with you wherever you may go. It is the job of our church to reach this world. And I'm thankful that God is using us in that purpose. You say, so it sounds like work is going into this, preacher. Yes, but not as much as will go into the work. I'm telling you, I'm speaking of a phase here. We are quickly moving from the phase as a church where we've sent Brother Drinkard out to where now you and I are in the phase of giving birth as a church, where our church is going to give of itself, of its resources, of its time, of its energies to see a church in Leawood birthed. And we as a church are responsible for making sure that this church is planted. And I'm so grateful and thankful that God would allow us to be a part of it. And if you'd imagine, it is a healthy thing. Can I tell you, it is a normal and healthy thing for churches to birth churches. That's a sign of normalcy. That's a sign that something is good. That is a sign that something is healthy. It is a sign that something is right when a church births a new church. But there's labor that is involved. The Bible tells us here in verse number 9, look there with me. He says, for you remember, brethren, our labor and travail. You remember our labor and our travail. That word labor there literally is the word beating. And then they put an inflection on this word. It's a Greek word, kapos, and they put an inflection on this word. It means a beating, yes, but it means a beating for sorrow upon one's chest. It's as if you are laboring in prayer and you just get to that point where you can't do anything else but just beat on your chest about how passionate, about how heavy this thing weighs on you. It means labor and trouble. It means an intense labor united with the trouble and toil. That word travail here is the word, simply means this, sadfulness or sadness and painfulness. It means a hard, difficult labor, toil, travail, hardship, distress. This is what is natural in the life of a church. You say, wait a second, I didn't come to church to get involved in labor and travail and sorrow and beating my chest. You weirdo, I didn't come here for that. What's wrong with you? I came here so I'd have something to do on Sunday morning. Which, by the way, I do want to say thank you for getting out on the ice skating rink that Topeka has provided for us and making your way here today. That does mean a lot to me. Did you know that coming here and sitting here, this isn't what God called us to do? This is a part of what we do. We come and we elevate the Word of God. We all look to the Word of God and we say, God, conform my heart to look like that. Transform me to put my heart right with your Word. Yes, we do preach. We do come together. We do worship. But can I tell you, that's just a part of what we're called to do. It's just a piece of what we do. It's just an element, a fraction, a sliver of what God wants to do through the lives of those who'll just surrender himself to it. You say, preacher, I just came here for a sermon. I just came here to sing songs. I just come to this church because my friends are here. I just come here because this is where my Bible class is at. I just come here because I like my Bible class teacher. I just come here because I didn't mean for all of that to be a part of it. And I tell you that Paul is looking at this church in Thessalonica and he is saying, as much as you may not want it to be a part of who you are, do not forget that the church you enjoy today was somebody's sorrow yesterday. The church you had yesterday was somebody's labor yesterday. Somebody labored and toiled and sacrificed and sorrowed and broke their heart for a people in Topeka, Kansas. And that's why we get to have what we have today. We wouldn't have South Knollwood if it wasn't for a church planter who had a heartbreak for the people of Topeka. Come here and reach them with the gospel. And we wouldn't have South Knollwood if there weren't pastors before me even who were giving and laboring and serving and toiling and going and working. And we wouldn't have what we have if it weren't for church members before you that we have long sent to heaven and long ago cried our tears and missed them deeply today. But long ago, they were making sacrifices, making it happen, working week after week after week in their place, serving, teaching those little kids and teaching their Bible classes and ministering in the nursery and giving and going and doing. And we wouldn't have what we have if we didn't have the labor and travail. And if we have anything to hand to our children one day, it will not be because they deserved it or they earned it. It will be because we sweat and toiled and labored to give them something called a church. The people of Leawood won't have a church because we wish they had a church. They won't have a church because we felt like they needed to have a church. They'll have a church because someone was willing to do the work of prayer. Someone was willing to do the work of preaching. Someone was willing to do the work of soul winning. Someone was willing to do the work of investing and giving and going. There was someone that was willing to care. There was someone that was willing to labor. And I tell you today, Paul was willing to make the labor. And Thessalonica had a church because of it. I want you to consider with me this morning. I want you to consider the principles for doing God's work. I want you to consider these principles that God put in front of us. Just consider them quickly. I don't want to take your time. I will, but it's for later on in the message. But I want you to just consider quickly just some principles that he points out for us. We're not going to go back and rehash all this. I just want you to see it. In verse number 9, he says, this principle, very simple, working for the gospel removes you from accusation. You know, church, if we will give the gospel, if we will be faithful to give the gospel, we can't be accused of not giving the gospel. The Old Testament gives us a picture of a watchman sitting on a wall who does not sound the alarm when trouble comes. You know, there's going to come a day where this world's going to meet the wrath of God, or one day that friend or neighbor of yours is going to die and go to a sinner's hell. And I wonder if I'm not going to be heartbroken that they look back and said, man, I wish Jeremiah had just told me. Why didn't you tell me, Pastor? Why didn't you tell me? You knew me all those years and you just didn't tell me. You know, if we don't give the gospel, we're going to have to give account for that thing. Look with me in verse number 9. Isn't that what he says? For ye remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you. You're not going to lay a charge at our hand that you didn't get the gospel. We were the ones working to make sure you got it. One day, Leewood won't be able to look at Topeka and say, Topeka, you had the gospel and you didn't give it to us? No, we'll say, hey, look at all the work, look at all the labor, look at all the hours, look at all the time, look at all the prayer, look at all that went into that church. And they'll say, yes, South Knollwood, of all the people, South Knollwood met the answer that God had called. We won't be chargeable to them. Verse number 10, I want you to see this principle. How you do your work matters. In verse number 10, he makes very simple. You are witnesses in God also how holily and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves. You know how you do your work matters. How we give, the spirit in which we do it is going to matter. It matters to the Lord. I want you to see verse number 11. That encouragement multiplies your work. As ye know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children. When you are encouraging, when you encourage the people around you to join in with you in the work, you are multiplying your labor. You see, we could send Brother Drinker to go do this thing by himself, but he didn't get called to do this thing by himself. He is a representative of South Knollwood Baptist Church. When we exhort and encourage one another to participate in the planting of Leewood Baptist Church, I just named your church for you, by the way. That's not the name. We're just going to call it that for fun's sake, right? It's like when you have a baby and you don't know what you're going to call it yet, and you just call it a girl or a boy, whatever. So we're getting there. The truth is that one day we're going to be partnering with him. We're going to multiply. Our labor will multiply the efforts of the Drinkard family there. We're not sending them down there to get it done. We're partnering with them to get it done. We're going to be a part of that. Why? Because working together is how this thing multiplies. In verse number 12, he tells us very simply that you would walk worthy of God who hath called you into his kingdom and glory. I remind you that your work makes an impact in other people. That ye may walk. It's going to make a difference in people. I want you to consider the parentage of doing God's work. You see parenting all over this. You say, preacher, you did this little graphic up here with expecting when you're expecting, and it looks like a baby's coming in a bag with a stork and all that good stuff. And we covered this last week. That's not my cheeky way of announcing that my wife and I are having a kid. Not happening. I thought it was cool, so I did it. And so the graphic, it's got this whole like baby's coming theme, right? You can pick up on it. But the truth is that I didn't come up with that. He uses the words labor and travail, and I love that he does this. But then listen to how the parentage here that he describes for us. Verse number 9, you find the word travailing. He speaks of travailing, the toil of birthing something from within. And then modeling in verse number 10, the word, I want you to see with me in verse number 10, ye are witnesses in God also how holily and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves. In other words, we are modeling as parents. We put on a model in front of our children so that they can model after us. You walk, and the child sees you walking, and eventually they're trying to do the same. I remember as a boy when my dad would walk ahead of me in the snow, I'd try to match my stride with his stride, and it was so big, and I'd try with my little feet to match his stride. And the reality is that there's going to be a church modeling our church one day, a church that looks like ours happening in Leewood one day. In verse number 11, the Bible tells us this. He says, as you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children. I tell you, there's going to be some nursing that needs to go along with this task. It's going to seem sometimes that they're wobbling a little bit in the church. You know, we thought we were done, but man, we're going to go back and we're going to put it, prop it back up a little bit, and we're going to help it. And man, it needed a little extra money to get the bills paid this month. And oh man, they just take so much work. Well, yeah, you say the same thing about your toddler when they bang their face on the edge of a table, don't you? You nurse it, you bring them along, you say, it's okay, buddy. It's all right. Don't lead with your face. It's going to be okay. And we just walk them through it, right? We're parenting that child through. And we're going to do the same thing as a parent does with their child. We're going to be understanding, and we're going to be giving, and we're going to take care of it right on in for a couple of years. I'm not signing you up for 6 months. You're not taking one weekend. This is a thing where we're going to walk alongside this church. Why? Because there's some nursing that needs to go along with it. Verse number 11, he says, we did this like a father would his own children. Well, we wouldn't expect our children to stop making demands on us at the age of 3, would we? I mean, it would be really nice. And some of them think they're all full grown anyway. They definitely don't have to listen to that guy anymore. But the truth is that they don't. They don't have what it takes to make it all the way. They won't have their feet underneath them. It may be that that church raises 3 different congregations before they finally get the congregation that's going to build the church. It might be we have a bunch of excited people get started on day 1, and in 6 months, they all go away. Well, that doesn't sound really exciting, does it? Sorry, Brother Keith, I'm not trying to shoot a hole in your balloon or anything. And the truth is, they may build it up again, and it takes this time, takes 3 months. They finally get some families together, and half of them get called away, and now they've got to start right back over again. By the way, that's a normal thing. It's natural for churches to build it 3 times before they finally get a footing underneath them. Well, that just sounds like a lot of work. Well, yeah, so does having kids. So does having kids. Kids are a lot of work. You do it for a long time. You get invested in it. Here's the reality. Why would we do this? We do it because it's worth it. We do it because it's worth it. Why do we put up with kids for 18 stinking years? Which, by the way, I'm pushing to see if we can't get the legal age 17. No, don't do that. Okay, never mind. My wife said, stop right there. Now, the truth is that I hate it. I hate that my son has grown up while I was watching. I mean, I wasn't even really paying attention to the calendar, and here we are, boom. A couple years from now, he's going to be out of my home. That's scary. I don't like him being out of my driveway. And the truth is, I'm investing everything I know how to invest. I'm giving everything I know how to give, because eventually they're going to be up on their own. They're going to be starting their own families, and I'm stepping back, and I'm saying, you know, Lord, as I measured, it's been worth it. I'd go back and pay those prices again to have the young man that's growing up in my home. I'd go back and make those same sacrifices to have somebody that's got the intensity of his character. I would do that again. That was awesome. Why? Because it's worth it. That's what we do. That's what parents do. We don't do it because the labor is fun. Nobody signed up to be a parent because it's fun. It is fun. But the reality is, it's not why you do it. You do it because it's worth it. You do it because of what comes as a result of the years of faithfulness. I tell you, because in verse number 13, there's rejoicing, isn't there? For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when we received the word of God, which were ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men. I tell you, there's rejoicing that comes when we stay faithful. You know why we're going to plant a church in Leawood? Because one day we're going to step back and say, look at what God did in Leawood. Look at what he did. Guys, I got to tell you, yeah, God's been good to us in Topeka, and he took care of us all the way through it. It wasn't easy, and it was hard a lot of the time, but thank God, look at what he did in Leawood. And our heart's going to have a special place in Leawood. Our heart, can I tell you right now, I have a special place in my heart for the Kuna people. It's a special place. You can talk about a lot of places. The word Panama comes up, my ears perk up. You can talk about Russia. You can talk about all the places that need a missionary. I hear somebody, I'm from Panama. I'm like, oh, do you know Tim? You know, there's more than like 4 people in Panama, right? Like, oh, you got to meet Tim. You'd love Tim. You'd love him. Why? Because we sacrificed him. I'd much rather have him here with me. I'd much rather have him in church with me serving right here at South Knollwood. We sacrificed. We gave that up. It makes Panama all the sweeter. Somebody talks about Brazil. Oh, man, absolutely. Brazil. Let's talk Brazil. I can talk about Brazil. Why? Because we gave up some stuff, and Brazil's pretty special to me. I think about how our teenagers are going to love the country of Brazil. Wouldn't it be awesome? Just grow up. One day, in 10 years from now, they don't like it right now. They're not excited right now. But in 10 years, you know, their families are they're raising their own families and have some kids of their own. And, man, here comes the Schmitz back through South Knollwood presenting their work. Yeah, everybody shows up that night, right? Why? Because it's special to us. We sacrificed a family we love deeply, and we gave them up. Why? Because it's worth it. Those souls in Brazil are worth it. Those souls, those churches are going to be planted in Panama, they're worth it. That church in Leawood is worth the sacrifice. Why? Because one day we'll get to step back and rejoice. Amen. So church, consider with me then the percussion of doing God's work. Consider the impact that happens from God's work. Do you know what's going to happen? Others will remember the work of South Knollwood Baptist Church. Others are going to remember the work of South Mulwood Baptist Church. You know, it's easy to come to Topeka, have somebody, we'll be out knocking doors in Topeka. We're from South Mulwood Baptist Church. And they'll say, oh, that's that church over on 29th and it's Burlingame. Oh, yeah, and Burlingame. Yeah. And we'll just talk about it. It's been there for a long time. You drive by it. It has a steeple. It has this, and they start to describe it. They know it. It's not an uncommon thing. If you went to Leawood today and you said, hey, I'm from South Mulwood Baptist Church, they say, what? Where? Well, you probably wouldn't know about South Mulwood Baptist Church here, would you? It would probably be not an uncommon thing if you went to Panama today. I'm from South Mulwood Baptist Church. What? What is that? I'm from South Mulwood Baptist Church in Brazil. Well, one, we don't speak English, and I don't know how to say it in Brazil, in Portuguese, so that's... But we'd say it to them, and they'd look at us with this curious face. One day, you'll go to Leawood, and you say, we're from South Mulwood Baptist Church. They say, oh, that's the church that started our church. That's the church that matters, because that church is a part of our church, and we are from that church. That church is pretty important to us, because that church made all the sacrifices so we would have a church here. You go to Brazil someday. Give it 10 years, you go to Brazil. We're from South Mulwood Baptist Church. Oh, the Schmitz know you guys. Yeah, that's right. We're with the Schmitz. Go to Panama one day. Oh, Brother Tim told us about you. Yeah, that's right. That's right. You see, others begin to know the story. Others know the impact. I tell you, my children probably don't know all the things that happened during the day they were born. In fact, I'm guessing they don't remember any of it. Ungrateful people. None of my children remember the day they were born. But they've never forgotten that they were born. Right? I mean, that makes common sense. They didn't hatch. I mean, some of them, one of my kids think they hatch, but they're, you know, we'll get there. I'll teach them eventually. It's just so cute to hear them talk about it. No, the truth is that they don't ever forget that they were born. It may be that the church in Leawood will never know all the sacrifices South Mulwood made. But it will not be hard to see that someone was willing to make sacrifices. They won't know all the little ways that you gave and all the times that you prayed and all the extra time that you spent driving over there and helping them with special events or serving them. Some of you, they won't know that you gave up everything in Topeka so you could go serve in Kansas City and build a new home there and plan to be a blessing to that church. They may not know all of those details, but they'll never forget that they exist because somebody else built them. Can I tell you today, we need to be a church that plants churches because they will always remember. They'll always remember somebody made the sacrifices. I love that he uses this word, remember. Consider with me then John chapter 6, verse 21, Jesus says, a woman when she is in travail hath sorrow because her hour is come, but as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for joy that a man is born into the world. Now, I don't even begin to pretend to know what a lady goes through on, near, or around childbirth. I don't even begin to know. I'm guessing the Jesus that made all this happen probably knows. But it is said that there is what's called the halo effect, right? The halo effect. It's not that a mom will forget the pain. It's not that a mom can forget the intensity of the moment, but rather the halo effect is once you have in your possession that for which you travailed, all of a sudden everything balances out. Meaning that now that the pain is over, it's not that you forgot the pain, it's that the prize was so much greater than the pain that you are taking it in comparison to the value of your prize. The pain and the heart, the hurt and all of that was real. Never for a minute take it away. But the truth is that once you have that for which you travailed, it in comparison cannot meet the joy of what you have gained from the travail. This is called the halo effect. Now, church, I want you to understand that one day we're going to step back and see a church in Leawood. And the value of the prize is going to be far greater than the sum of all the pain. The value of souls being saved, the value of lives being changed, the value of marriages being put back together, the value of that hard labor will be put in proper context because of the prize by which we have won our sacrifice. I want to remind you, the same is true. Child rearing, marriage, work, all of these things are reality that once you have that for which you've labored, you can find out it balances out the pain it took to get there. All of it is following the simple plan that intensity is eased by reward. Intensity is eased by reward. Sadly, there will be some. Hear me out, church. We just need to know this going into it. And to our guests, I'm sorry. We're going to get kind of just open up the local church for you so you can see it closely, okay? I want to tell you that when we go to plant a church, there will be some who leave our church. Well, yeah, because they're going to need partners over there. Listen, no. That's not just what I'm talking about. You see, when we expose ourselves by trying to be a help over there, there will be some people who become discontent here, and they'll leave. You say, oh, preacher, that wouldn't happen. Every major thing we've ever done at this church, we've lost at least two families. We remodeled the auditorium, lost two families. We added some things around the church, lost families. Well, they were mad about the way we... No, actually, that wasn't their complaint at all. It's that it's just time to go. God moved some out. By the way, he replaced them, and we just keep going, and we love them, we miss them. I pray for their families. We're going to miss them. But the truth is, the work goes on, and part of the sacrifice is knowing that sometimes we'll even lose some things. We'll lose. You say, well, whatever you do, let's not do that. No. That's not how this works. You don't want to move forward because it would cost us something? Can I tell you, church? Sitting still costs more than moving forward. That's good. That is good. Sitting still will always cost more than moving forward. You say, are you going to pick which families go? Do I get to? The truth is, you get to pick which families go. The sad part is that some of the families have not gotten to experience the great excitement that we've experienced year after year after year. God's blessed us, get send people out. We look at them, we talk to them on the screens here, and we're just excited for them. We talk to them on the phone, we send them texts, we email them and stuff, and we get all this joy that comes from having made sacrifices. You know, there's going to be some who will say, nah, I'm not doing this, and they leave, and they're going to miss the joy. There'll be some who made all the sacrifices with us, and then in the 11th hour, walk away and miss out on the joy part. Listen to me, church. We don't have to lose anybody. We don't have to. But I don't get to decide that. Only you do. The question will be, are you willing to go all the way to experience the joy? Are you willing to go all the way through the intensity of it so that you can experience the joy behind it? This is the reality of planting a church. We cannot quit part way because you don't know but that the prize was just a moment ahead of us. I want you to understand another thing that makes it easier for us, for a woman to forget the pain of travail, it's been said. These aren't from me. I'm reading a book on this one. And the overall experience is part of what allows a woman to release the pain from her mind. It's the overall experience. If it was an uncomfortable situation, if she wasn't being taken care of, if the wait staff, if they weren't taking good care of her, if the husband wasn't intentional, if all of those things, if the nurses were rude to her, she's gonna remember every one of those details. All of them will add to the overall experience, right? Did you know that one of the places we could make a bad move here as a church is if in the process of doing something for the glory of God, we begin to make it about ourselves, or if in the overall experience we become selfish and stingy with one another, then what happens, it begins to affect the spirit, the attitude of the entire thing. The overall experience could be a great, exciting thing. One that we step back from as a church and in Topeka, we're high-fiving and shouting and hooting and hollering. Or we could get at the end and say, we're not ever doing that again. That was miserable. What's going to make the difference? The spirit of the people who went through it. The attitude and the heart of the people who went through it. You're probably not going to enjoy church planting if you're more worried about building your kingdom than his. It's probably not going to be a very good experience. You'll probably enjoy the experience of planting a church in Leawood if you're not more worried about what you can get or what people see or how much credit you get. If you're more worried about those things, this is going to be a pretty bad experience for you. But if as a church we all just said together, hey, let's work together, let's make this thing happen. Great spirit all the while. We're going to work together. We're going to bring God glory from it in how we do this work. I think this could be a life-changing experience for our church. I really believe that. But it, again, will be your choice. It'll be my choice. Week after week after week. And then the health conditions of the church. Another thing that allows for a mom to be able to enjoy the experience or be able to overcome the pain of the experience is how quickly she healed from the experience. For a church, reality is that we're going to be exposed for a while. As you try to reach out, I try to liken it to somebody who is reaching over to pick something up. If I'm standing straight up and you wanted to push me down, I would have fun with that. That'd be great if I get to push back, right? Like, that would be a lot of fun. You try to bump into me, right? You try to push me down, and I'm ready. Well, then it's going to be a little bit of a job for you. But if I'm bent over to grab something, you could probably push me over pretty easy. I wouldn't be ready for it. You could just right up underneath my rib, just knock me over. I'd be laying on the ground, and you better run, right? It's going to be fun. We're going to have a great time, but we're both going to enjoy the experience, okay? The truth is that in that position, I'm exposed. I think of our church from Topeka leaning over to Leawood to help with that church. We're going to be exposed for a little bit. Satan's going to try to work in. He's going to try to knock us down while he got a chance. He's going to try to get in and start some backbiting and some bitterness and some busybodiness. He's going to want to work that in, right? And in that situation, we could come out of church planting in worse shape than when we started because we'll be exposed. The question will be, are we going to let it in? We've got to fight for the health of the church. We've got to consider what's best for the health of the church. You say, well, maybe we shouldn't church plant. That's a big risk. Yeah, it is a big risk. Just like a mom. A mom puts herself at great risk. Now listen, I know what day we're in. I know the advancements of the medical condition. If you back up 40 years, childbirth's a quite a bit different event in our country. Go 40 years before that, quite a bit different of event than even just 40 years before. Back up 100 years. Having a child, even in America, that's pretty risky, isn't it? Now, the truth is, we can try to mitigate all the risks, but no matter what day you're in, having a child is risky. It's just risky. It can ruin the health of a mom. It can kill the mom. You know that church planting is risky business. It's normal, it's natural, it's healthy. It is all good for a church to do. But in that moment, they are exposed. And in their exposure, it can hurt the church. It can kill the church. Well, what determines that? I don't like this. What decides? What decides is whether or not we as a church are willing to let God work in and through our church to get it done. You say, preacher, is it worth it? Is it really going to be worth it? Preacher, why are we doing this? Maybe we could stop. You know, maybe if we just give all the money back and we act like it didn't happen, we could just be done, right? Let's just do that. No, I don't think that's what God wants for our church. The reality is this is why. Can you look at me with me one more time? I'm just going to have your attention look one more time. In verse number 9. For ye, what's the word? Verse number 10. Ye are, what's the word? Witnesses. Verse number 11. As ye know, verse number 12, that ye would walk. Do you see the transformation there? Do you see the steps of transformation that take place? The progress that takes place in the life of that little child that we're going to nurture in Leawood? You see? One day, they're going to just simply remember somebody gave them what they have. And we're going to look back at that church as it's grown a few months, and as that church has grown and raised up and built up, and we look back on that little church, and they're going to come to a place where they could even remember, they could even testify. You know, there was this church in Topeka, and you know what? We witnessed the love they had for us. We probably ought to love people like that. Man, that church, they gave up stuff so that we could have what we have. Man, we ought to give like that. You know, that church in Topeka, they love missionaries. Oh, we need missionaries. You know, it's not the whole church, but you know, there was that lady that led me to the Lord that one Saturday afternoon, and I came to the church plant, and then, you know, I've stayed connected with her over these years, and I watch her love for Christ and how she loves her family and how she follows her husband. I probably should do that with mine. It's the witness now they see. What does verse number 11 say, that word there? As you know. Can I tell you, they're going to take their doctrine from us. The things they know, the things they have believed, the things they are holding to, those doctrines which build that church into a strong foundation, that doctrine's going to come from us. They're going to know some things because of your investment. And then verse number 12, they're going to walk a certain way. Their lives will be transformed. Their marriages will be saved. Their whole outlook on life will be different. I wonder, in Leawood one day, I wonder if you'll be able to enjoy it when God starts calling church planters out of Leawood. God starts calling missionaries out of Leawood, and our church steps back as a parent and looks at this church who's sending out missionaries of their own and sending out church planters of their own, and our hearts are going to be joyful. Like Paul in verse number 13, I just thank God continually. I look at what's happening over there in that church, and I'm just thanking God continually. Why? Because of how they remember, how they witnessed us work, how they know some things are sure because they see it in you, and because they walk, talk, act, and think like a church should. And they'll have gotten that from us. Church, it's worth it. The question will be if we're willing to go after it like it's worth it.